Take your Bibles and open to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. You know, when you've been preaching as long as I have, I don't look in the Bible for something new. I'm not looking for new doctrine. I'm not looking for some new revelation. I'm looking for something that's fresh, something that stands out to me. And this is an old verse, probably very familiar to you. I think most of you ought to know it. But I think we need to pay attention to it. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Let's pray. Lord, you know the heart of every person here. I pray that you would take your word and you would apply it to each heart. I pray, Lord, if there's a lost one here, that you would save that soul. And I pray, Lord, for every child of God, that you would rebuke us, draw us closer to you, help us to understand you better. We pray that you'd have your way in this service. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm continually amazed at people who claim to believe in God, and yet they seem to think they can fool Him. You know, you can fool me. There's no doubt. I can sometimes have an opinion, and it's just as wrong can be. I remember a young lady who dressed in black all the time, and she was very much... I was a school teacher over 20 years during my ministry. Been preaching 51 years. I taught school 20 years while I was pastoring churches. And this young lady... She dressed like a witch all the time. And the kids thought she was a witch. And I was teaching the 8th grade, and I saw her come from the 6th and the 7th on up, and I'd see her in the halls, and I'd think, ooh, boy, that's going to be trouble. When she gets into my class, she's sure going to be trouble. You know, I thought, oh, boy, I'll probably get her. When I got her in the class, she still looked like a witch. I mean, boy, she had black fingernails, she had black eyes, she had everything, and she dressed that way. And all the kids were scared of her because they thought she was a witch. She had them fooled. One of the best students I ever had in my life. She was never, never a bad word, never a rebellious attitude, straight-A student. Shoot, I can be fooled. I sat in a prison yesterday. And I was waiting to see someone. And as I was in the prison, I saw many prisoners file past me. And it was amazing. You know, they got on these white uniforms and they got stretch pants. They don't have any belts or anything. But some of those boys in that prison had those stretch pants hanging on their butt, you know, just back down to here. And the crotch was down about to their knees as they were walking in. Tattoos all over every place. You know, you and I look and judge people from the outward. We do. Now, I don't dress to be, to stand out. I dress to fit in. I don't want to be dressed so that I would be offensive to somebody and I could not witness to them. The truth of the matter is, if I could, and my wife would probably verify this, I'd wear bib overalls every day of my life. I'd preach in bib overalls. I probably got 7 pair of bib overalls. Give me a gift and say, buy you something you'd like, or go buy me a new pair of bib overalls. I dress so as not to be offensive to the gospel. I dress so that I can fit in with a rich man or a poor man, a bum on the street. I dress so as not to cause offense. But some people are dressed to impress, and they're dressed to impress a certain group. Be real careful who you try to impress. Because some of the people you want to look like, they're going to take you down the wrong road. I was amazed as I sat in that prison and I saw prisoner after prisoner walk by, how much they looked alike. Not just because they all had on white jumpers. The tattoos and the attitude and the stuff that was there, wow. Well, we can judge people from the outward, can't we? Man, I've seen some people that don't think I'm going to go down that street. Think I'll turn around right here. Hope I don't run out of gas. Hope I don't have a flat. Wrong place, wrong time. But you know, we're dealing with God. Have you ever thought about what that word means? God. If there is a God, if there be a God, if God is what it says it is. Have you thought about that? The idea that God put the universe out for man, by the way, with a span of his hand. And you're going to mess with God? Hypocrisy does not make sense to me. Whatever you ought to be honest with God. You know what? You can't hide anything. You can't hide anything. I'm amazed that people who preach the gospel claim to profess to trust in a God that is the God of the whole universe, the creator of everything, and they think they're hiding stuff. Look what it says in this verse. One of the first verses I ever learned in the Bible. 51 years ago. The heart is deceitful above all things. You know, that is hard to believe. When we look at our heart, how many times have I been told, but in my heart? No, you're a liar. You're a liar. And I tell you what, your heart's lying to you. Your heart is lying to you. This is the truth. You're not right. And I put that on the authority of the Word of God. What does it say here? The heart is deceitful. Now, maybe a little. Above all things. Isn't it amazing how we can fool ourselves? We can believe and we can justify that whatever we want to do is we really want to do it because it's the right thing to do. Our heart's in it. Let me tell you what. Everybody's heart's not in it. I'm going to talk about the heart a little bit today, about God and the heart. And what he has to say here is that it is deceitful above all things. The most deceitful thing God says around is hearts. Your heart will deceive you. I have followed my heart and gone the wrong way many a time. You can't just follow your heart. You better follow the Bible. You better not follow your heart. Sometimes you better listen to good advice from people around you that are a little bit older, that have seen a few things down the line, but not go by your heart. And I don't know how quick a heart can change, but it just seems like in a moment. I've had people come to me and tell me how much in love they were. Oh, we're just in love. I just love him with all my heart, with all my heart. And the next day, I hate that bum. Now, I've been counseling people 51 years. I guess I did a little more of it before I was even saved, too. But you understand what I'm talking about? I remember a young lady when I was teaching in class, and she was going, with a scumbag. This kid, I'd have been afraid to let him mow my lawn. And this is a beautiful little girl. And she said, oh, I just love him. I just love him. Mr. Kincaid, you just know, I just love him with all my heart. Next week, I said, how so-and-so? That creep. It's amazing how your heart will deceive you. You can't trust your heart. You can trust God. You can't trust your heart. You can trust the Word of God. We need to walk by faith and not by what we think our heart says. Because he said the heart is deceitful above all things. Now, I want to tell you, it says something else right here. Desperately wicked. I know you don't believe that about yourself. You won't admit to it. You will fight me. I have sat in houses. I have talked to people. I've sat on the couch beside them. And they will tell me how honest their intentions are. But they're not. He said, your heart is desperately wicked. Let me tell you what makes that heart wicked. Self. You. Your heart's for you. You're not worried about me. You shoot somebody because they don't have $25 to help you buy some drugs. What's the matter? Your heart is desperately wicked. You don't worry about how you interrupted their life. You don't worry about the kids that go without a father or a mother. You don't worry about the problems that you're going to cause somebody by crippling them down the years. No, all you're worried about is what you want at this time right here. It says the heart is desperately wicked. The wickedness comes from me, self, me. I want it. You ever seen two little kids fight over a toy? All we are is just big kids. We fight over toys too. We had a little toy in the nursery years and years and years ago. It was plastic keys on a chain. Probably 8 or 10 plastic keys of different colors on a chain, big keys. We had a lovely lady in the church, and she was taking care of the nursery that day. And there were 3 or 4 kids, and all the kids in the nursery wanted those plastic keys. They fought over them. They cried. They jerked them one to the other. She had to just continually fight. She went out, went to the store, bought about 6 pair. They never played with them again. It's the heart problem. Desperately wicked is what it says. Desperately wicked. I want you to notice what it says the Lord does. I don't know why God is so interested in us. I have not figured that out. But He is. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. God's searching your heart. Let me tell you what means more to Him. Your heart means more than your words. Your heart even means more than your actions. Your heart means more than your money. I know that really will fool you. Your heart means more than your money. He said, I search the heart. How is your heart today? Is your heart really for the Lord? Is it down in your heart? That I want to please the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I want to honor the Lord. I want to brag on the Lord. I want to help the Lord. He says, I search the heart. When God walks through these aisles and up and down these chairs and looks at each one of you, yes, He sees how we're dressed, and it is important how we're dressed. I was in a doctor's office just this last week. And there was a lady in there, she wasn't young anymore, but she wasn't old. She was very attractive. But evidently, she was very lonely because she was advertising. She was well endowed, but she wanted all of us to see it. So I saw it. I appreciated it. But I didn't want to follow through. But she has done this so that every man that passed by, I'm sure she wasn't trying to attract women. I mean, I don't know. But I think she was trying to attract some men that she had on a wedding ring, but maybe her husband wasn't doing his job at home. Why would you advertise like that, ladies? If you're modest, if you're married, if you have any heart for God, why would you advertise that way? Because that's what you're doing. The other day, a lady got out of her SUV, and I'm sitting in the car there, and she turns around to get back in, and I got a beautiful tattoo right here. put a big tattoo right there. Advertising? You want me to pay attention to this part of your body? Must be. Must be. Now, why would you dress like that? It's a heart matter. You understand where I'm coming from? You dress trying to show us your heart. Now, if you got your pants hocked down here and you got your stride right down here, you're dressing to impress somebody. Now, it doesn't impress me. I think that's about the stupidest thing that I ever saw. How would you ever run in a fight? Would you pull them up? And you boys wearing earrings, I know you're not a fighter. First thing I'd do if I fought you is rip the first one out. He said, I search the heart, and then notice what he says, I try the reins. You know what reins are, don't you? Reins are what you guide a horse with. I've ridden a lot of horses. I grew up on a farm, 66 acres, in the Land Passage River. In fact, I rode a bull only once. And not very long. I didn't get 1 second. That young bull, my cousins and I, we shoved that bull up against the fence to the corral, and I was up on there, I was about 12 years old, and I jumped on the bull from the corral fence. We didn't have a chute, you understand? And when that bull saw me coming, young bull saw me coming, he was boom, and I went way like this. I didn't even get a good 1 second ride. But that broke me of bull riding. I have no temptation to go out there and wrestle with those boys riding those bulls. I just have no temptation to that. I try the reins. You ever ridden a really good horse? I had an uncle that had a beautiful cutting horse. And he let me ride him. He wouldn't let many people, but he did let me. And he said, but you be real careful because if a rabbit jumps up, he's going after it. And you better hang into the saddle because it would just move. And all you had to do was just take that rein and touch the neck. You didn't have to yank it in his mouth. You didn't have to reach out and grab that rein and just pull it like that. All you had to do was just lean it just a little bit. Just like, and that horse just moved. Just so beautifully, beautiful cutting horse. He tried the reins. God's trying your reins. Do you know why he gave you the opportunity he gave you this last week? You know what I'm talking about. I don't know, but you know. God wants to see what you'd do. You know why that temptation came to you? Something very serious came in your life this week. God was trying your reins. He wants to know what you'd do. God gives you freedom to make choices. I'm sorry, everything is not completely predetermined. You make choices. And God is looking at your heart, and while that temptation came on you, God was sitting back there saying, son, what are you going to do? How will you handle this? That person that cut you off in traffic and shot the finger to you, did you cuss him out? Did you race your car up past him to try to get past him and shoot the finger at him? Did you try to run him off the road? Some of you did. Am I right? Because I've done it. Yeah, I remember chasing a guy down and getting out of the car and thinking I'm doing the same thing that he's doing. Stupid. No, God was just simply trying your reins. Some of the things that come your way are, yes, temptations. Yes, they're tests. How will you handle this? What are you going to do about this situation? And God, your Heavenly Father, is saying, make the right choice, son. Make the right choice. God's on your side. He wants you to win. I search the heart. I try the reins. And then he said, to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Some of you think you can sow corn and reap watermelons. Some of you think you can sow weeds and get tomatoes. But it doesn't work that way. What you sow, you reap. And this verse right here says, God is looking at your heart to give you what you do. God Almighty is looking down upon your heart. He knows whether you really meant it. You know, you say, I didn't mean it. You say something that I really didn't mean it. That really wasn't from my heart. It probably was. But God is looking down on this to give you according to your ways. You know, God has an ordered universe. Isn't it amazing that you look at people that prepare in one certain way and they go that direction and it works out? Look at people that work hard and the fruit of their labor comes out. You know that most of the time people who work hard, good things happen to them. Most of the time people who take care of their tools, take care of their car, their house, their business, take care of their marriage, good things happen to them. Parents who try to raise their children, good things. Oh, they're exceptions. But most of the time, even in your life, you know the way you live determines what the result's going to be in your life. That's from God. I have a firm belief. I don't know that I could prove it to anybody in the room. I have a belief that when we get to the end, we're going to find out God's going to make everything right. When I get up there in heaven, I don't believe there's going to be a person in heaven saying, God, you did me wrong. Everyone sitting there going to say, oh, Lord, you do all things well. You do things right. I don't understand why some people suffer more in this life than others do. Life is not fair. God never promised it to be fair. God is just, not necessarily fair. I didn't get the same life to live that my father and mother did. And my children won't get the same life that I've lived. Every one of us have our own opportunity, our own trail, our own adventure, our own problems, our own troubles, our own opportunities. And God's looking on our heart. I don't know why God's so interested in it, but He is. He is to give you what's right to be given to you. To pay you for your work. God saves us, and then He pays us for our work. That's a wonderful thing. He saved me by grace, and then He promised me, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Hey, if you sow to the Spirit and sow to spiritual life, wonderful things are going to happen your way. So I want you to know, you can't live a life of sin and rebellion and reap a life of blessing. That's what it says right here. You understand what that's saying? He said, I'm looking at your heart to give to every man according to his way. I want to show you some scriptures. Some of them you'll be very familiar with, but just they're just a good thought for me. Look, if you will, at Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You hypocrites, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart. Do you believe in God that He's not a statue on a wall? He's not somebody that lives in this building at 602 Oak Knoll. He's everywhere. You can't honor God with your lips and your heart not be in it and Him accept it. You think God's pleased with the honor that comes out of your lips? No. Not if your heart's not in it. You can't fool God. I have seen some people who supposedly were saved do some of the stupidest things. And I wonder, why? How? What were they thinking? You can fool me. You can fool people. Yes, but you can't fool God. God heard the conversation you had last night. God knows every dream you ever had. God knows your purposes. God knows the slander. And God's going to hear you when you cuss me on the way home today. Amen? Oh, yeah, He hears it. On Thanksgiving, you get roast preacher. There's another little verse I'd like you to look at. Brian was talking about it in 1 Samuel. Chapter 16 and verse 7. Samuel came out there because one of Jesse's sons is going to be king. And man, Eliab stepped up. Good night. He probably was 6 foot tall, handsome man, flowing hair, big muscles, kingly presence. And Samuel said, "The Lord's anointed is before me." Whoa, what a king! You ever been that way? Have you ever looked out there and said, "Wow, look at that"? But I tell you what, it isn't always what you see on the outside. Listen to what God says. This is the way God thinks, not the way we think. It says, "But the Lord said unto him, look not on his countenance," that's his face, "or on the height of his stature," big man, "because I refused him." Doesn't say why he's refused him. He just says, "I don't accept him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." You know what he had? He had a red-headed, handsome little guy. But what a warrior. He said, David, he was the last one. Yes, he had a lot of sons. Most of them looked pretty good. And here's the run of the litter. Just a good-looking, red-headed kid. Ruddy. God looked on his heart. But did he have a heart? Oh, yeah. When Goliath's standing out there 10 foot tall, this is 10 foot. Head to this wall, that's 10 foot. That's what Goliath stood. He probably didn't weigh 400 pounds. He probably weighed 600 pounds. He's one great, big man. He had a spear most men wouldn't want to carry. He had another fellow that walked out there with a shield in front of him. There's no way David was 6 foot tall. He might have been 5'6", 5'7", something like that. He ain't no 10 foot giant. But what does his heart say? His heart! Isn't anybody going to fight this guy? Aren't there any soldiers in Israel? Is there anybody going to stand up for the Lord? For the Lord's name, the Lord's army, the Lord's people. Isn't anybody going to say that? That's his heart talking. And here's this young kid, probably 17 years old. 5'6", dressed in shepherd. Didn't even have a armor on. Got nothing but a slingshot. And 5 smooth stones. And old Goliath said, "What's this?" Take that armor and go, "What's this? You come at me like a dog?" And boom. He had 5 stones. He didn't need one, but he had 5. Somebody said it's because we're Goliath's brothers. I think David was just smart enough. He didn't get a 1-shot pistol. He got a 6-shot pistol. He might miss with one. It said right here, the Lord doesn't look like you and I look. He looks at the heart. I'll show you another verse. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You're not dealing with a God you can fool. You're not dealing with some statue you can mash something in front. This is a God that's looking in upon your heart every day and night of your life. Right now, He knows exactly what you're thinking about His Word. You may not like the preacher. I hope you do, but you may not. A lot of people haven't. But I hope you like the Word. You may discount the preacher. That's all right. Don't discount the word of the living God. You may fool this preacher, but you can't fool God who's looking in your heart right now. At this very moment, you can't do it. It says everything, all things are naked. All things are naked, open with the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Back in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, Solomon is getting ready to dedicate the temple. And he says in chapter 6 and verse 30, talking to God, praying, "Then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive. Rend unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways." You know what? I'm scared of God. He's my Father. He's my Heavenly Father. He's my Savior. Oh, He's forgiven me all my sins. But I'd be afraid to let God get mad at me. I'd be afraid to do some things some people do. I'd be afraid to say some things. Here a while back, some preacher was getting smart, and he says, "Well, if God doesn't judge America, He'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah." And that was a smart saying that went around for a little while. And I heard that, and I thought, ooh, I wouldn't say that. That's not going to come out of my mouth. No. God will never have to apologize to anybody. That's the kind of God I serve. He is right. He's always been right. He will always be right. He's done the right thing. He's doing the right thing right now. Whether you see it or not, He's right. And He's looking on the hearts. He says, "Thou whose heart thou knowest, for thou knowest the hearts of the children of men." Notice that second verse. It comes back to what I was telling you a little bit before, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways. Why would we fear Him to walk in His ways? Because if you don't walk in His ways, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Everything I think, every word comes out of my mouth, everything I do has a consequence. They don't just fall to the ground. They're not just nothing. They come back. Sometimes in days, sometimes in moments, but sometimes in years, but they all come back. The consequences to the life you've lived. And the way you're living right now, there are consequences to it. Some of you are suffering right now in this church this morning. Some of you are suffering because of what you did 5 years ago. You're still suffering because of it. And some of you are going to be suffering 5 years from now for the decisions you make today. He's going to give you according to your ways. That's what it says. He looks on the heart to give you according to His ways. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Oh, so many times we want God to punish right now. Where's God, some people say. Some people over in the last book of the Old Testament, they're saying, "Where's God? When is God going to judge for this? How come God hasn't done this?" You know, you ought to be real careful about judging God. He sees a lot more than you do. He understands a lot more than you understand. And for you to impugn His heart like it was your heart, that's a mistake. Because His heart's right. "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily." If every time you reached out to do wrong, your hand got slapped, I imagine you would learn pretty quickly not to do. But have you noticed what God will do? He'll let you go. He'll let you do it. You know what God did for you? Something very, very special. He made you little gods. You could make decisions. You could make decisions. And you can live with the consequence of those decisions. Now, some of these rough kids and some of these crooks, thieves, gang members, they think because I haven't been hurt yet, God's not looking. Or God's ignoring it. Or God won't punish. It's a mistake. That's an error in thought. Just because He didn't punish you the minute you did it, you let your heart be built up in your pride. That's another thing that's wrong with the heart, pride. We think, it's me, I'm special. Yeah, I know it happens to other people, but it won't happen to me. I'm special. I remember my daddy doing his best to tell me, son, put yourself in the averages. You're not so special that you're outside the curve. You're not so special these things aren't going to come back and get you. Put yourself in the averages because they're going to come around and get you. Just because God didn't spank you the minute you did it, doesn't mean judgment isn't coming. But the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. What it says? It says the hearts of the sons of men are fully set to do evil. It's your heart. America has a problem. The world has a problem. Humanity has a problem. It's heart trouble. That's your problem. Here's a verse in the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 7. What a tremendous verse. I believe this verse. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've been mocked many times. I've had them laugh in my face. I've had them make fun out in the congregation. Sometimes I can see them making fun. I've even had people get mad at me and tell me on the way out. God's not mocked. In fact, it might be a very dangerous thing to mock a messenger of God. Especially if that man does really have God on him. God is not mocked. You might mock me and get away with it. You might make fun of me and get away with it. You might lie to me and get away with it. My friend, God is not mocked. Amen. Whatsoever a man soweth. He's not talking about corn and potatoes and watermelon. He's talking about love and hate. He's talking about selfishness and pride. He's talking about lust and sin. He's talking about spiritual things and righteousness. Whatsoever man sow, you can sow what you want to sow. Isn't that something? What God gave you? What a privilege. What a tremendous opportunity. You can sow whatever you want to sow. You can live your life any way you want to live it. You can ignore all the rules of society. You can ignore the rules of your family. Or you can follow them. You have the opportunity to live your life as you want to. Under certain circumstances. But know this. For every work, God will bring you into judgment. My old pastor in the church where I got saved out in Roswell, New Mexico. He was an older man, about like me now. I was a young man in my 20s, 21. He told the story, and I've told it many a time, but it tickles me every time I think about it. He was raised on a farm, and his daddy told him to get a field planted with corn. And he was out there by hand planting it. But he wanted to go to town so bad that day. But after he'd done 3 or 4 rows, it was hot. He said, I'm never going to finish this. I'm never going to get to town. Got off to the end of the field over there and just dug a hole and poured in all the seed. went to town. Enjoyed himself. Had a great time till harvest time. And you could see every row he had planted in this bunch. And the rest of the field was a hull bare. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Some of you here today and you've never been saved and you've been walking around thinking, I don't need to get saved. Oh, but you do. I'm 72 years old. I'm still feeling pretty good. I'm walking on both feet and seeing out of both eyes, and I'm still preaching. Praise the Lord. I got some real close cousins, and I've got some real close friends. Didn't make it past 50. Didn't make it past 50. I've known some of them die at 18. You know, when I got saved, I had a buddy that was 22 years old that died 1 year before I got saved. Driving my truck on my run. And that fuel spill hit him, blew him up, blew him 30 feet. He died 11 days later right here at Brooks. You know what I learned when I was 21 years old? That a 21-year-old can die. They can die. You don't have any guarantee of even walking out those doors this morning, much less walking back in next Sunday. You don't have a guarantee. In fact, one of the things I think about as I preach is that I'm a dying man preaching to dying men. Yeah, I'm going to die. I might die today. I might not finish this message. But the truth of the matter is, as young as you are, as healthy as you are, we had a nice, young, healthy man, 45 years old, ran 5 miles every day. He didn't make it to the hospital. He was fit. Man, he was fit. Whole lot fitter than what I am, and I'm alive and he's dead. Who can tell? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And you're a sinner. You were born a sinner. You've lived a sinner. You choose to be a sinner. And right now, you could choose Christ. Or you can choose not to take Christ. And you can walk out in your pride and thinking you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And if you're going to live to be 100, you might. But the odds are against it. Put yourself in the odds. Put yourself in the percentage. You just may not be that you're that special. It just may be God's only given you a certain amount of years to live. And your time might be up. Now let me ask you this. Where will you spend eternity if you die right now? Are you going to go to heaven and be with God where we were singing about just a little while ago? When we all get to heaven. Well, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and you've been born again, that's where you'll go. But if you're not saved, and you're still walking in your own pride, in your own self, doing your own things in your own way, and telling God, wait a little longer. I'm not ready yet. Then, my friend, if you die, you will not go to heaven. I don't care what the preacher says at your funeral. I don't care what your friends say to your family. I don't care how beautiful they make you look in the casket. Live hard, live fast, die young, leave a beautiful corpse and a happy memory. It doesn't matter what your corpse looks like, friend. You're not in it. You've already met God. You've already met God. And by the way, there's a real quick judgment. Either you go one place or the other. Oh, there's more judgment to come. You're not through. That's just the first phase. You can be saved today. This day, March 1st, you could be saved and say, since March 1st, I've known Christ as my Savior. You know what you do? You admit you're a sinner and need a Savior. I am a sinner, and if I die, I deserve to go to hell. God, will you have mercy upon me? He says He will. He did me. There are a host of other people say He did for them too. He'll do it for you. And my Christian friend, quit fooling with God like you can fool Him. Quit acting like He doesn't know what you think. Quit acting like your conversations don't matter. He hears every one of them. That would be a pain. Would you like to be saved today? God's looking at your heart. Holy Spirit's walking in these aisles today. You know how I know that? He said where His Word is preached, His Spirit would go. And I preached His Word. And His Spirit will touch a heart, a life or two in here. My Christian friend, got something you need to get right? Get it right with God today. Don't have any old accounts. Get rid of them all. Take them to the Lord. Get them forgiven. Get them cleansed. If you're here and not saved, don't walk out those doors without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Come on down here. Tell me, I want to be saved. I'll get somebody to pray with you. Get somebody to talk to you. Answer your questions. Help you out. Don't walk out the doors lost. God is looking on your heart, and your heart is desperately wicked. It is a deceitful thing. It will fool you. Don't trust it. Trust the Word of God. The Lord's not looking at how handsome you are and how well-dressed you are today. That's not that important to Him. It's where you are in condition to your heart. That's what's important to God. Amen. We're going to sing number 249. There's a great promise of God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This altar's open as God has touched your heart.